welcome to the Looking Both Ways podcast. I know last week we did not have one. It's the summer. We're all over the place. We've been having kids camp. We had youth camp last week. So there was a lot of us out. If you have been in our church, it is not hard to realize that we are under construction. We've got literally an ocean's worth of decorations going up in our church. Why? Because we've got VBS next week, starting on Monday, every evening, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 8:30. So make sure that you're inviting people to that. This is a great opportunity to invite new families, as it's a free kids camp. They get a free t-shirt. Who doesn't love free, right? But it's also a chance for us to get new people into our church and exposed to who God is. I mean, the whole theme, if you think about what Breaker Rock Beach is, that whole theme is all about how when the waves crash and the storms hurl around us, Jesus is a solid rock. He's not going to move anywhere. Those waves are going to crash into him and he's not going to move. That's the rock that we build our lives on. So who doesn't need that message? And if you're sitting there thinking, man, I can be a part of that, I can help, we would love to help. The more help, the better, as it's going to be a really busy week, especially in crunch time now, as we've got all the setup going on and all of that. So in a very exciting time in our church, our prayer is that God would bless that. All the hard work that so many people are putting in, the excitement for people coming to know Jesus, kids coming to know Jesus, because here's the reality. If you can get kids to come, you can get the families to come. And so that's our hope, is that the families would come. And so if you want to be a part of that, let us know, and we would love to try and get you plugged in. But also, make sure you're inviting as many as you can. In the whole high desert area, we would love to fill this place out. I know God's going to do something incredible. I know that makes us think it's going to be quantity. Who knows? Maybe he brings a lot. But I do know that the quality of what he's about to do in our church is just, you can't even expect it. And so we're ready for that. We're excited for God to do something, and we anticipate it to be beyond anything we can ask it and think, Ephesians 3:20. But this podcast, if you've never listened before, is called the Looking Both Ways podcast. And then we look both ways back at last week as a reminder of some of the things that we spoke about. And then we also look forward to this coming Sunday. So normally, I would be on this podcast interviewing someone else. I would be talking to either Pastor Rich or whoever's going to be speaking. But last week, I actually got to speak. And this coming week, I get to speak. So this is a unique opportunity for me to just remind us all of what we spoke about last time we were together, and then also get a chance to look forward at where we're heading next week. And so I look forward to that opportunity with you as we continue to move through the book of Nehemiah. Last week, we were in Nehemiah 9, and we had four main points. We talked about confession, and that's a heavy topic. It's not a topic that a lot of people like to discuss, but it's so important. And what we found out was actually it's not something that we should feel down about or ashamed about. We should get excited about it, because it ultimately means that God has made a way for us to be made right with him, that we can come to him. He's a good father. We can come to him and confess our sins and be made right in our relationship with him. He made the way for that to happen, and he continues to. And so we had four points. Confession happens in the community of believers. We looked at James 5:15. That truth comes from verse 2 of chapter 9 of Nehemiah, but also James 5:15 talks about that we confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. So the importance of making sure that we are in community with each other, because it creates accountability. It's easy for us to go off on our own and kind of, you know, well, say, you know, I've confessed my stuff to God and that's all that matters, or go away in a closet and maybe just try and hide our sin. But the whole point about confessing our sins, just like Israel did, they separated themselves from the rest of the world and came together, and for 6 hours they confessed to one another as an act of worship. And we do this because of accountability. We need to have people in our lives that are going to hold us accountable, and they can't help us get better if they don't know what ails us. If they don't know where the sickness is, then they can't help us find healing. And ultimately, that's what That's what confession does. Confession brings healing. It returns us to good health. It returns us and restores us back to the place where God wants us to be, and that is ultimately as close to Him as possible. So we do this in a community of believers, but we have to use Scripture. You can't know where you're broken unless you have an X-ray that shows you your brokenness. And that's Scripture. Scripture shows us the standard. It shows us how we're supposed to live our lives. God gifted us with that so that we might walk in that, which is also what we're going to be talking about this coming week. But Scripture is what they had, and they read it and realized how lost they were, and they were broken apart by it. And so what did it lead them to do? It led them to confess. So when you start with God's Word, it leads you to realize where you're broken, and you confess it. But remember that the Word itself is not enough to fix you. It's not a works-based salvation. You need a physician. And so just like an X-ray prompts the doctor to help fix you, we have an X-ray in God's Word, the law, to prompt us to look for that physician to fix us. And that's Jesus. And then we moved on from there, and we talked about how confession happens in light of God's holiness and glory. That when we look at Isaiah falling on his face and saying, you know, woe to me, that's not just because he's scared. It's because he sees the holiness of God, the glory of God, and realizes it really puts himself in perspective. He realizes how lost he is, how dirty he is because of the sin in his life. And it prompts him to fall on his face before a holy God. And that needs to be us as well. That we know we are broken. We know we are not perfect because we serve a perfect and holy and glorious God. And that puts us that puts it in perspective. But here's the amazing thing. In Jesus, we have boldness and access to his throne. We looked at a beautiful story from Matthew chapter 8, where a leper, a man that you would never touch, never talk to because they were shunned from society, unfortunately, Jesus did. And fortunately for this man, Jesus did. Because the unfortunate thing is Israel took the law the wrong way, and Jesus was showing the right way. And by touching this man, when this man went to him and said, if you are willing, make me clean. You can make me clean. And we hear Jesus respond, I am willing, be made clean. And so while we serve a holy God, while his holiness shows us our brokenness and reveals our brokenness, we also have a holy God that is willing to clean us. He's willing to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that begins with confession, going to him, going to others and saying, this is where we're broken. And so we looked at that. We looked at confession in light of God's goodness. God is a good God. There are tons of scriptures that point to even our hard circumstances are all being woven together to bring about an ultimate good result. And that's the salvation of many. Whether we look at the story of Joseph, we look at James or Paul's story, whatever it may be, he is a good God. He's a good father, even when we are undeserving. Nehemiah 9, it shows how they even said, we deserved everything we got. I mean, how many of us are willing to say that? I deserve everything I got. But what they also say is, even though we were wicked, you remained faithful. God remains faithful. He is good. And that's why the last two points of last week are all centered around that, God's goodness and God's faithfulness. That verses 7 through 25 in chapter 9 are all the story of all the things that God has done. So for you, if you're listening, write that down just like they did. Remind yourself of all the good things that God has done for you, even when you did not deserve them. And let that remind you that God is good. He is a good God. And because of that, you can confess to him. We confess in light of how good God is because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve life. Especially in an eternal sense. We don't deserve that, but God made a way for that to happen. And that's why we close with this idea of his faithfulness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, and he'll forgive it. And this is where we really broke down how confession is actually an act of worship. We looked at the Old Testament and how the whole sacrificial system was that form of worship, that you would bring your offering and it would be delivered up to God as a way of atoning for your sins, but also as a way of worshiping God. Confession is where worship begins. And if we also, I mean, if you look at the man in Matthew chapter 8, what did Jesus tell him? He said, don't say anything, but immediately go and offer the sacrifice. Go and worship. Don't make it about you. But when God cleanses you, when God makes you right, immediately let that go, let that prompt you to worship. And so for us, practically, as we get ready for this coming Sunday, examine your heart before you walk in the building. Examine your heart. Look at the stuff, because you're about to boldly walk into the throne room of God and sing praises like the angels. And so make sure that you confess what needs to be confessed. You seek to be made right before God, and then you come in, and your first act after that is to worship Him. You can bring it to Him. He's a good God. And so that's what we looked at last week. We looked at confession. And then this week, we get to continue into chapter 10, Nehemiah chapter 10. You'll still be with me. But Nehemiah chapter 10 is all about being God's people. And they make this pact in light of all of the stuff that had happened. They make a document and they make an oath to walk as God's people, not to say that they're God's people, not to say they're sorry, but to be God's people, to walk as God's people. And we really see that in different ways. It's one thing to say that you follow God. It's another thing to be a follower, right? I love this concept of walking the walk instead of just talking the talk. There's so many moments in movies and in books and the great stories where, you know, somebody's revealed to be fake, right? They talked the talk all day long, but they couldn't walk the walk, right? We don't want to be that. We don't want to be people that talk the talk, that we claim to be Christians. We claim to know God's word. We can recite it and all that, but in reality, it has no effect on our life. And Israel didn't want to be that way either. And so they made an oath to walk with God. In fact, we'll talk about the fact that God's relationship with us is really described in Scripture as marriage. That's what marriage is a picture of. And so that oath that you make when you are married is not about talking the talk. It's not about knowing what you're supposed to do. It's about doing what you're supposed to do and walking in that oath. When you make those vows in sickness and health, it's one thing to say that. It's one thing to say that you know you're supposed to do that. It's a totally different thing to do that, to actually walk in that. And so that's what we're looking at this Sunday is really what it looks like to be God's people. And that is really in three ways. God's people spend time with God's people. They came together as a community of God's people. And it continues this idea that as they separated themselves from others. So it's this picture of God's people spending time with God's people. And it doesn't have to be a big group of people. If we look at these ordinary uneducated men, a dozen men that God used to bring about the beginning of the church with the disciples and the apostles. So it doesn't have to be this massive group of people, but it is God's people coming together with God's people. And in order for us to be God's people, we have to be with God's people. Christ died for the church and gave himself up for her. We're going to look at that as that image of marriage that God gives us. Why a husband loves a wife is because Christ loved the church so much that he gave himself up for her. And so because of that, there is spiritual safety when we find ourselves with God's people. It doesn't mean that we avoid the world. It doesn't mean that we shun ourselves from society all the time, but it does show the importance of coming back together to be encouraged, to be re-energized. God's people spend time with God's people. And here's the other part. Number two, God's people walk in God's word. We're going to look at not just studying God's word, but actually it says that they made an oath to walk in God's word. And so we're going to look at what it actually looks like to walk in God's word. And I really do want to give you practical insights on how to do that with reading it, applying it, and sharing it. And so we're going to look at all of that. And as we go through this too, we actually relate it a lot to Acts chapter 2, which is the first church. And so you have God's people coming back together in Israel in Nehemiah, but then you also have God's people coming together as the first church in Acts chapter 2. So we do bounce back and forth from those two as we go through this. And then finally, God's people invest in God's house first. That whole second half of chapter 10 is all about them investing in God's house. And so we're going to look at why that's important. Why is it important for us to invest in God's house first, in both a spiritual sense and a physical sense? When we look at the spiritual house being yourself, because you're the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16. But also God's physical house, the physical house of God, churches. Why is it important for us to invest first in that? And what areas do we invest? And so I'm really excited to look at this and also just talk about why it matters. It's easy for us to say that, you know, we're not saved by what we do, so it doesn't matter what we do. It only matters what we say. That can't be further from the truth, because what you do reveals the truth behind what you say, right? That if we say it, it is being observed. What we say we are is being observed by a watching people, a watching lost world. And so is what we say being matched by the way we live? And funny enough, what we're truly passionate about changes what we study. It changes what we walk in. It changes who we spend time with, and it changes what we invest in. If we're passionate about something, it reveals itself in all of those areas. And so for this this assembly of God's people coming together, they're passionate about God, and it is revealing itself in the way they walk, who they spend time with, and what they invest in. And that's no different for us, and it's no different for the church in Acts chapter 2. Nothing's changed. This concept of walking out your faith and not just talking out your faith is all over Scripture, and that's what we're going to be looking at this Sunday. So I am so excited to continue to get to be with you all on Sunday as we continue to move through our season of sabbatical. I pray that this finds you well. I pray that God continues to bless you in this season of rest, especially if you're a person that serves our church faithfully. I pray that when that Wednesday alarm goes off and you're normally supposed to come to do church, it's nice. It's that nice season of rest. But remember, it's not forever. We are coming up on that August 7th return date. And so energize, do what you need to do to feel encouraged and be ready to worship with us this Sunday. So thank you so much for listening in. This is the Looking Both Ways podcast with your host, Pastor Tim, and we will see you this coming Sunday.